joined by Em Byhold. Hello, how are you doing?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
Doing very good. Excited to chat. Congrats on the upcoming EP, Egg in the Backseat. I feel like so many of your lyrics are just so creative, but then where's the thought process when it comes to incorporating eggs into a song?
To be honest, there's not like a huge story behind the name of the EP. I've always like jokingly my whole life considered myself an egg and I like call myself Egg-Malie. And I was writing this other song that's called Goo. There's another one that doesn't make a lot of sense. And like Egg in the Backseat was just one of the lyrics, and the writers in the room were all like, we all just got excited about it. And it just felt like, I don't know, an identifying title that doesn't make the most sense, but feels very me. So that's kind of where it comes from.
Is that what made you want to then name that the EP? Because it's kind of that self-identifying?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, that's awesome. What were you able to take away from your first EP? Because this is your second, and kind of learn through this process that maybe you didn't have the first time around.
I think I allowed myself to just write more freely and like say things that maybe I was like a little too scared to say in songs before. And also I think sonically, it's a lot more like what I want my music to be. I mean, also to be fair, my first EP I did when I was like 16 in high school and, you know, now I'm 23 and out of college and all that, but, yeah, I'm super excited about it.
Yeah. I don't even know if we should consider this even like your second EP, because you've had like a best of hits CD when you were 8 years old. You've had a long career so far.
My dad would record me doing little covers of like the songs from Wicked, or like the ones I learned in music class in elementary school. And then it was, you know, the best of Em'Lie Byhold with my like little 5-year-old self writing music on my desk.
I love that so much. That's so sweet. When was the point where you were obviously taking music lessons and doing all this, but do you remember a certain point where you were like, okay, I think I actually want to pursue this and turn this into something?
I don't remember a particular moment, but I know the first song that I ever wrote was called America Home. And I just remember thinking like, how cool. I mean, I guess I shouldn't say that on like Canadian radio.
Oh, no.
but I just remember thinking like, how cool, like I wrote a song and my, you know, at the time CDs were a thing. So my piano teacher put it on a CD and I was like, I can hold this like song that I've made. And there's just a sense of accomplishment with it. And it just became like a very addicting hobby.
Yeah, definitely. Did being raised in the LA area, do you think that's helped influence you in the music industry?
I think so, because I was always like surrounded by creative people, and you know, growing up I did some open mics and stuff like that. Both of my parents were in animation, so that wasn't like any, you know, exact correlation to what I wanted to do, but yeah, I mean, you know, I went to shows growing up in like a creative sphere.
Yeah, I can imagine I'm assuming, but it would feel like a little bit more obtainable, especially like seeing or feeling like that is so close, right?
Yes and no, because everyone's going for it. You know? Right.
How do you feel about like the LA culture? I was talking to like Måneskin, the group from Italy, like last week, and they were saying that they came to LA for the first time and they were like, everyone's kind of fake or everyone's kind of faking it. Do you feel that a little bit about like the LA culture?
It depends where you are, because I live in Glendale. And that's kind of separate from like the whole like Hollywood area. So I kind of grew up in like suburban LA, which is a very different experience. And I'm really grateful that I grew up there, because I'm not a big fan of like the more main touristy spots, but there are definitely like gem nichery parts of LA that are a more down to earth vibe.
Right. Totally. I know that you gave yourself a year to focus on music. What was your plan if that didn't work out? Did you have a plan B at that point?
I mean, I was applying to a ton of jobs, like even in that year, of just like production assistant or copywriting assistant or any kind of assistant really in the creative realm, music assistant. I remember I was pretty bummed that I got turned down for like a music editorial assistant job for NPR. And so now it's like cool to be, I guess, on the like opposite side of that. But there wasn't a real plan in place. I really didn't think it was going to work out, though. I was very much bracing myself for like a 9-to-5 kind of job.
Really? Do you remember a point there where you were like, finally, was it when a song blew up or like Groundhog Day that you were like, okay, maybe I don't need to keep applying for these jobs?
Well, what's really funny is I gave myself the year thing, I was too frantic about it. So I really was just applying all over the place, but I was supposed to work for The Voice. And I had actually gotten rejected 3 times, but I was going to work for them as a PA for like a month or so, 2 months or something. And like 2 days before the job started, that's when Groundhog Day hit and I got like 30 labels in my inbox or something. And so it was kind of just like a very full circle moment that it happened like right then, you know?
Totally.
And it kind of all changed after that. Yeah.
Yeah. That's got to give you such a like interesting outlook on life that things can just change that quickly. Or if like one thing doesn't work out, that something else can come along, right?
It makes me trust the process and even like feel happy about all the failures that I had because they led me to get to the point I needed to be. And, you know, for instance, like I wanted to go to Northwestern, a college that I didn't get into, but, you know, I would have graduated in 4 years instead of three, like I did at UC San Diego. And if I was there one extra year, like, you know, I wouldn't be able to make TikToks and do everything that changed my life. So, you know, it's a good thing. Like it all happens how it should.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's a good reminder for anyone. That's so great. I love that. And I love all the messaging that you have in your music as well. I know TikTok has obviously been a friend of yours throughout your career. So as an artist, I can imagine that you would easily get fixated on numbers. Like I make TikTok videos, not in music, and I find myself doing that. But you've talked about how you aren't even super fazed by that. So what helps you to not focus on that?
I mean, it's kind of an active choice not to be, because it's so easy to like feel that your self-worth depends on the metrics. But like, I mean, for instance, I used to check my streams every day. I don't even look anymore because, you know, there's no real reason to, and that's also not the point of it. Like we think it is because that's what we're putting all our effort into. We want to see how the response comes. But I focus on continuing to create instead of like watching what I just did, I guess.
Yeah. How do you like reach that mindset though? Cause I feel like that's so much easier said than done.
I mean, really it's just, I'm choosing to, I don't know how to say otherwise.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, no, that's great. Was it a natural thing for you to then be so vulnerable talking about things like mental health in the songs that you create?
Yeah, I've never really associated a lot of shame with it. Like I know the stigma is for like older generations. I'm also really lucky that like I have an open dialogue with my parents about everything. So I was just kind of raised to talk about how I was feeling instead of hide it away. So, I mean, writing songs has just been my form of therapy. And the fact that, you know, other people can relate to it and feel less alone is like the best effect I could have.
Yeah, definitely. And I know you've talked a bit about how your parents might've been a little bit hesitant in the beginning of talking about that. How do you have conversations with them to explain those types of things, the like different generations?
Well, it's funny because they didn't really like all the stuff I was saying in Numb Little Bug. It was like a little too much for them. And then my dad was like, oh, you're really that depressed? And I was like, Dad, just like, let me live. But I think as they saw the responses come in the comments of people saying like, oh, I heard this and I sought out therapy or I talked to my family about how I was feeling, they started to get it more. But also, for instance, I made a video with like a pill bottle in it showing my antidepressants. And my mom was like, we don't do that. That shows that you're weak. No one will ever hire you. And I was like, Mom, it's different now. Like the kids are talking about it.
Yeah, that's what makes TikTok so great too. I find like even compared to Instagram where people are showing the best parts of their life, I love going on TikTok because you can just scroll and like see people crying about them feeling bad and then having people relate. It's so good for that.
I love how raw it is. Absolutely. Yeah,
totally. That's so sweet. Obviously people are relating to you in a lot of ways because of your music and posting so many videos to your audio, which is so incredible. So it's so nice to see that they can relate to you in that way. But have you learned anything from the people, from your fans that are reaching out to you now and making videos using your audio?
I mean, I think it's helped me realize like not to have self-doubt because it feels like it's kind of beyond me at this point, like the message that I'm saying or that I try to write a lot about mental health. And, you know, sometimes I get in my head where I'm like, oh, I'm not the cool girl. I'm not writing the cool girl music. I'm not dressing like, wow, like I dress like a grandma and I talk about grandma things. But, you know, the fact that the song can do what it did because of the messaging and like help people just reminds me that I should just stick to being myself.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I think like that authenticity probably shines through more than you then trying to like be the cool kid or anything like that.
It would never work if I tried.
Yeah, I love that so much. What's something that you've always wanted to experience maybe like in the music industry that you haven't had a chance to do already? Cause you've had like a billboard on Times Square. You've like done some crazy stuff.
Yeah. It's really funny. Cause when I found out about that billboard, I was in the middle of a gas station in the middle of America. And I had just like woken up from a nap and looking terrible and I was all sweaty and my tour manager showed me and I was like, that's not me. the touring realities are very different to like the billboard presentation of yourself, but I would say I'd really like to do a late night live performance on TV. That'd be really fun.
Do the SNL thing too.
Yeah, I mean that's my biggest goal.
Is that your biggest? Yeah, you got it. What's the biggest, like SNL? What else?
I don't need to do like Super Bowl, that's too much. But SNL, that's crazy.
Gotta keep it like a little reasonable.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like Super Bowl would be just something else. Yeah, that's awesome. Em, so nice to talk to you. Congrats on all the success that you've had. So good. Thanks so much for your time.
Yes, thanks for having me.